This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Reading is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Thank you. Have you ever, and I'm speaking to both men and women, but particularly the men, have you ever purchased something and had to assemble it, and it came in the mail, and you got it home, and you had to put it together, and you opened up the box, and you took out the piece of paper that was in the box, that piece of paper had directions on how to assemble what you purchased, and also directions in how to use what you purchased. And how many times did you take that piece of paper and toss it to the side, and then proceed to assemble the item yourself, and you said, I got this. Now let me ask you an honest question. How many times during that process you ended up having to stop, shake your head, go over to the corner of the room, pick up that crumpled piece of paper, unravel it, and read the directions? Then take this piece off, and take that piece off, and disassemble it once more, and then put it back together the way the directions have listed. I know I've done that. We're about to talk about spiritual gifts. And it seems like in the Corinthian church that the Corinthians had taken the directions God had given for spiritual gifts, crumpled up the directions, and tossed it to the wayside. And so we want to learn how to avoid doing what they did. Because this is a thematic series, not, you know, getting too into the nitty-gritty of things, we're trying to look at themes as we go across this overarching theme of being called together to be set apart. We're not going to have a several week long sub-series of all the spiritual gifts and each individual gift and whatnot, though that would be a series worth having in the future. But it's just a brief look at how to use the gifts God has given us in a way that honors Him. The Bible teaches that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you immediately are given the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit seals you for the day of redemption so that you will have that Spirit carrying through all your life And that Spirit will empower you. God's Spirit will enable you. Well, the Bible teaches that you also receive from the Spirit of God, as given by the Father through the Son, you are given a unique, individual, specific grace that God wants you to use in the function of His kingdom. In verse 11 there, it says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." Now, the Bible gives lists of what these gifts are. We read through a brief list that talked about gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of faith. And there are other passages that talk about the gifts in Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. Give us the list of spiritual gifts that every believer that lists the gifts that every believer has a gift. So, others have taken these gifts and categorized them. I like one category that I came across. They put the gifts into three categories. The first category was the speaking gifts. That referred to prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, teaching, and exhortation. The second category were serving gifts. These are the gifts of leadership, helps, giving, mercy, faith, and discernment. And the final category was what we call the signing gifts. These were the more spectacular, miraculous gifts such as healings, tongues, interpretations of tongues, and miracles. Now, there's a debate in Christianity as to whether some of the gifts have continued to today, or they were reserved for the time of the apostles. This message is not going to try to hash out that debate. There are generally three camps. One camp are the cessationists. The cessationists believe that these more miraculous gifts, such as prophecy and tongues and interpretations of tongues and healings and miracles, that these were reserved for the apostolic period. And they say that the Bible teaches that when the apostles died, the gifts died with them, these gifts. The other side of the camp, of the spectrum, is the camp, the charismatics. The charismatics believes that these gifts, the Bible does not teach that these gifts have ceased. In fact, the Bible teaches that these gifts should be a normal part of church life, that we should see these gifts being used in the church. Obviously, there are extreme versions of both sides. On the one hand, there are versions of the cessationists that believe that every spiritual gift is gone, and that the spiritual gift was only reserved until the Bible was compiled. The other extreme are on the charismatics, of what we see with these groups that do things that are very wild and frenzied, and we obviously disagree with that. Then there's a group in the middle that would call themselves continuationists. They are the middle ground position, that they believe, you look at the Bible, it doesn't actually teach that the gifts cease. There's no Bible verse you can point to that say these gifts are done, except for 1 Corinthians 13, but that refers to the coming of the Lord. But on the other hand, you see that the application of these gifts in a lot of circles are not reflective of what the Bible teaches. So they hold to a position more that God is sovereign over who gets a gift, when they get them. If He chooses that they are not used for a certain time, that's up to Him. If He chooses to use them for a specific purpose, say a missionary going to an unreached people group and bringing about these signs to somehow establish a church, that's up to Him. We just submit to the Lord. And there's all different versions of this in between. The problem with the Corinthians was that they believed that there were certain gifts more important than others. They actually had three issues. They elevated the more spectacular gifts above the not-so-spectacular gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 down to 27, Paul talks about the body and how the body has different parts and how we shouldn't say that one part is more important than the other. In verse 18, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. If they were all one member, where would the body be? There are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." So they had this issue where they were elevating the more spectacular gifts over the more common gifts. They were saying that the spectacular gifts were more important. The second problem that they had was that they were using, and that's what chapter 12 is about. Chapter 13 is about the second problem, that they were using spiritual gifts in an unloving way. That though they had these gifts and they were using these gifts, they were not being done with a motivation of love. And that's where Paul talks about, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." Chapter 14 talks about the third problem. Chapter 14 was that the Corinthians were using the gifts in a way that did not build up the church. And Paul is saying, if that you have a gift and it's not, and you're in the church and it's not building up anybody, don't use it in the church. Because the purpose of the gift is to build and edify the body of Christ. So you can see in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, Paul is saying, "You guys, you crumpled up the paper and tossed it to the wayside. And now what I'm trying to do is take that paper, unravel, and show you, Corinthians, that these gifts are used for God's glory, for God's kingdom, to edify the body." So what I'd like to do is take that theme and help us look at the directions and how God wants us to use the gifts that God has given us. The first thing we read on our direction page as we look at these spiritual gifts is that the gifts come from the Spirit, not from ourselves. This is crucial. We need to remember that the spiritual gift which we have been given comes from the Holy Spirit, not from ourselves. That's what we just read in chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Let's read it together again. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. That you know that the Gentiles, that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, however you were led." Here it is, verse 3. "Therefore I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you're not going to blaspheme Jesus. If you blaspheme Jesus, that's probably evidence that you don't have the Spirit of God in you." And there are a lot of people who blaspheme the name of Christ just at the slightest problem that they have. If that happens, there's a red flag there. The Spirit is not active. But on the flip side, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So what that means is that when we trust in Christ for salvation, we are given the Holy Spirit, we can turn that blasphemy into praise. We can turn that cursing into adoration as the Spirit enables us. But here it is, verse 4. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Where do the gifts come from? The Spirit. "There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord." Where do the ministries come from? The Lord. "There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." Where do the activities come from? God. "But," verse 7, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And then he lists these individual gifts. "For one to one is given the word of wisdom." Some people have the gift to have a deep understanding of God's word and how it should apply in a situation. The gift of wisdom. But where does it come from? The Spirit. "To another, the word of knowledge." In some cases, people have been given an understanding, a knowledge about a situation in somebody's life that had not been previously revealed to them. This happened to preachers like Charles Spurgeon and others, where they were given a word of knowledge about a specific situation in somebody else's life that had not been revealed to them. Where did that come from? The Spirit. Knowledge can also be an enabling by the Spirit to understand the truth of God's Word. And it usually ties into teaching, be able to teach that and articulate that. Verse 9, to another, the gift of faith. Some people have the gift of faith. We all are to exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? However, some people have this unique enabling by the Spirit of God to fully and completely trust and believe the promises of God in a given situation. And they tend to be these prayer warriors who, when they pray, they are praying in faith that God will work according to His Word, and they have this enablement. Where did that come from? The Spirit of God. Other people have the gift of miracles and healings. Without getting into the debate of whether that continues today, we could say the Corinthians had these gifts active in their day where they were exercising miracles. And where did that come from? These healings, where did that come from? The Spirit. Others had the gift of tongues. Where do these tongues? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that when the Holy Spirit came, these disciples were enabled to speak a foreign language that they did not know so that others could receive that language of the Word of God to themselves. That was a spiritual work of the Holy Spirit. In the Corinthian church, there was this groanings of the Spirit, if you will, that were placed upon the Corinthians, in which they spoke in these utterances, which nobody understood unless another individual was given the gift of interpretation. Where did these gifts come from? The Spirit. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. The same Spirit. So the gift that the Corinthians had and the gifts that we have come from the Spirit of God. That means they do not originate from ourselves, from our personalities, and from our talents. They are not just an expression of our strengths and they're not rooted primarily in our own interests. They're given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, this doesn't mean that the gift God gives you will not reflect your personality. It may be the case that you have a personality that is expressed by strong leadership. And upon believing in Jesus, God sends this enabling by the Holy Spirit into your life to take this leadership and empower it with His Spirit to be used for His kingdom. It may be the case that somebody has the gift of compassion, that somebody has a compassionate personality when they look at those suffering around them. And upon believing in Jesus, God gives the Holy Spirit and gives a gift to take and empower that person to show intense mercy to those around them. But we have to remember, the source is the Spirit of God. So the glory is given to God. Other people are given gifts that totally don't even reflect their own personality. That upon believing in Jesus, there's a shift in their personality and God uses them. Maybe there's somebody who is frightened and absolutely terrified by standing in front of people and publicly speaking. But yet upon believing in Jesus, they're given the gift of teaching. And they're given an enablement to stand in front and teach the Word of God. Glory goes to God. So regardless of what your gift is, the source of that gift is the Holy Spirit. And this is the point. If this is a spiritual gift that is spiritual in nature, then the use of this gift has to be as an outflow of your already established relationship with God. So that means if you do not have, or not, if I do not have an abiding, consistent relationship with God and am walking in the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, then the gift cannot be used. because it is not an outflow of the spiritual life in our lives. It ends up just being a human-generated effort. I read a statistic that says that about $461 billion of revenue is generated off of counterfeit products. About 7% of products that are purchased are counterfeit. What that means is people go on the internet and they see this, you know, ladies, you may purchase a designer bag or something, and the bag has a certain name brand that you want, and it's a good quality bag. You want it to last a while, and it has certain features that are reflective of that name brand. Well, there are people out there who they create these counterfeit products, and they sell it on these websites, and by all appearances, it has the look of the genuine thing. And you purchase it, and it comes, and it looks, everything looks like it should be, and you start using it, but you notice in a few months, the stitches are coming loose, and the material is fading and wearing off. And why is that happening? You got a dud. And when we are not walking with the Lord, but we are operating in the church, what's happening is that there's a counterfeit result, and the product doesn't last, you see. It may have all the appearance of us using our gift and operating in the church. But if we are not walking with the Lord and have a relationship with the Lord, then there's not the Spirit at work through that gift. And it ends up not lasting and not creating the value that comes by the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I read once of George Mueller, who lived in the 1800s and founded many orphanages and was a man of God. And I remember, I think it was a biography, that he was preaching once. And while he was preaching, he stopped because something was speaking in his soul. And he said to the congregation, he said, "Brothers and sisters, I apologize, but right now I'm not relying on the Holy Spirit in my preaching." He said, I just do not sense that I'm speaking by the power of the Spirit, so I ask that we all just come together and pray. And the preaching stopped, and the people got together, and they all started to pray that God would move in their midst. Now, I'll be the first to admit that there have been times that I've stood here, and I've sensed the same thing. And I'm sure there have been times you've been sitting there and you've been thinking to yourself, "I wonder if we should stop and start to pray." But the point is this, that we need to rely on and depend on God to use us for the kingdom. And so if we do not have an abiding relationship with Jesus outside the church, how can we expect it to be used by Jesus in the church? Look, if you will, how Jesus teaches us what this looks like in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, Jesus just got baptized by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. And then it says, jump ahead to chapter 4. "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Then look in verse 14. "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' He said, 'I have received the Holy Spirit, and now I am ready and empowered to do the will of the Father for the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to depend on, rely on, ask God to fill us with the Spirit so we can be effective and used in His hand to do His will for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Secondly, not only do we remember that the gifts come from the Spirit, secondly, we refuse to elevate one gift above another. Turning back to 1 Corinthians, we refuse to elevate one gift above another. As I said, that's what the Corinthians were doing. In chapter 12, verse 14, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You see, you might feel and be tempted to think, well, I don't have the gift of teaching or preaching. I can't stand up there in the pulpit, or I can't stand at the podium, or I can't lead a Bible study, and so I must not really have that much use in the body. And God is saying, wrong. Your gift is vital to the body, just as much as my gift or anybody else's gift is vital to the body. And Paul elaborates on that. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The ear can hear many things, but you can't see where you're going by your hearing. You can hear where you're going, but you can't see where you're going. Both are necessary. If the whole verse 18, that now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. But then on the flip side, in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So Paul is saying, not only should every person who maybe doesn't have this front and center spotlight gift shouldn't be discouraged, because your gift is just as necessary as anyone's. On the flip side, the people who have the more spectacular or front and center gifts should not look at somebody else who doesn't have that gift and say, you're not really a part of the body because you're not teaching a Sunday school or what have you. Every gift is vital. And so the Corinthians were trying to bring attention and applause these spectacular gifts. And Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't bring attention to one person's gift, giving the impression that the other person's gift is not as important or does not even contribute as much. I want everybody to take your hand with me and place it on your knee. Now this knee right here, I'd like to ask yourself, how much, ladies, how much makeup do you put on that knee? How much jewelry do you put on this part of your leg? How much, when you're talking to people, are people looking at your knee? I hope they're not. If they are, there's probably something wrong with them or with you. But this knee doesn't get a lot of attention. You don't wake up in the morning, get in front of the mirror, and do up your knee. You do up your face. Why? Because when you talk to people, you're hopefully looking at their face and they're looking at your face. And so you want that presentation to be there. Let me ask you a question. Raise your hand if you've ever had a bum knee. Raise your hand. I saw a lot of hands go up. Okay? How crucial is your knee to your body? Very crucial. How much attention does that knee get from your thinking day by day? Very little. Compared to other parts. We have to realize that the body has knees as much as it has faces and hands and eyes and ears. The knees, they don't really get the recognition that the other parts do. They often go unnoticed in their service to the church. Everybody sees my gift up here, plain as day, but not everybody sees the knees that are serving the body, but nobody knows. There are those with the gift of faith. They are the prayer warriors of the church. That they are in their prayer closets between them and God, praying for us and asking God to move in our midst and send a revival in our hearts and use us for the gospel in the community. They're helping us walk and take them out of the picture, and we stumble. We don't realize they're upholding us right now. There are those with the gifts of mercy, the compassionate ones that they reach out to you and you might not even know it, but they say a word of compassion to you when you're struggling with something, or they give you a word of encouragement. They have the gift of encouragement, and you may be going through a difficult time, and they're there as a source of godly strength. These gifts are important just as much as these other ones. There are people who give their time and energy and resources serving the body of Christ, but they're rarely tangibly seen. They're rarely documented in our official documents. They're rarely seen among us. But they're the knees. They're the big toes. You might feel discouraged. I can't lead. I can't pray. Preach. I can't teach. But you have a gift. And God wants you to use this gift. And if you're not using the gift that God has given you in the body of Christ, the body is suffering. Because you are vital in the body. You might say, I don't know what my gift is. That's a conversation we can have. There are ways to discover God's empowerment in your life. There are opportunities that you can step in and be that place in the body. But it first must be said, you are important, just as everybody else, as you depend on, rely on the Holy Spirit who has empowered you. The third thing we want to look at here on our direction sheet, not just remember that the gifts come from the Spirit, not just refuse to elevate one gift above another, but make sure, thirdly, make sure your gift is edifying the body. Make sure your gift is edifying the body. Turn, if you will, to chapter 14. Now, chapter 14, the whole chapter, with the exception of, I would say, two-thirds of the chapter, is a discussion about the difference between speaking in tongues and prophecy. Now, I don't want to get lost in this discussion about tongues and prophecy, what it was in the Corinthians day and whatnot. I want to highlight for us, for our gifts today in Faith Fellowship Church 2024, that Paul is saying that the Corinthians were using gifts, but it wasn't edifying the body. And so he says, if it doesn't edify the body, don't use the gift. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You see, there were people in the Corinthian church who, coming under the influence of the Spirit with the groanings, however that manifested itself, that they were speaking in a tongue that nobody understood. Nobody understood what they were saying. They were just making these utterances that nobody, it was just utterances. And Paul is saying, if God hasn't given somebody else in that church the gift of interpretation to interpret what you just said, to speak that God-given word of encouragement, then you shouldn't be speaking, because nobody can be edified. And so he tells them to be silent and speak to themselves and to God. But then he compares it to prophecy. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Because others were given the gift of prophecy, where an enablement by the Spirit was placed upon them, where they could speak the word of God boldly to the church, that the church may hear and be built up. And so This is an exhortation for us, brothers and sisters, that when we serve and use our gifts in the church, it is the purpose to build up the body. And we ought to leave here encouraged. We ought to leave here challenged. We ought to leave here exhorted to live for God and with a fresh zeal in our hearts to live for the Lord Jesus. Amen? And so that's how we want the purpose of our gifts to be used. So if you have the gifts, say, of service, you want your service to be used in a way that the body of Christ is being built up. If you have the gift of exhortation and you want to speak a word of exhortation to somebody else, that it's for the purpose of building them up, not making yourself look good. Our gifts are to build up the body. And there are many, many, many churches that are not submitting to the Spirit of God to build up the church, and so that they turn into fluff. There's no healthy growth in the body. It's just fluff. It's like, have you ever read a book and you're reading the book and you start going through the book and the book is just so fluffy and feathery? And there's just nothing in it to give you anything to think about or anything to consider. And so it ends up, you just toss the book to the side. Or have you ever watched a movie that you thought it might be a good movie? You thought it might be give you some thought-provoking, you know, things to think about or consider. And you're watching it and everything about the movie is just really deteriorating your intelligence. And really just harming your ability to view the world around you. And so you just shut it off. Why? Because it's not contributing to your life. It's not growing you. It's not challenging you. It's fluff. And there are a lot of fluff churches out there that they get together and they just kind of entertain and give you a kind of a self-help pep talk and how to better your life. And there's no real deep understanding of God and who He is and how to live for Him. I saw an article of this one superstar woman. Her name is Kat Von D. She was a tattoo artist. And she ran a show called LA Ink. And for four seasons, she was very popular. She was into the occult. Very, very dark lifestyle. But then she, one way or another, converted to Christianity and turned to Christ. And she joined a church. And she said to the church, she said, I don't want to have these feel-good stories. She says, I want to learn the Bible. And she got baptized and she's growing and the church is building her in her faith. Your gift is given by God to build up the people around you so that they not just feel good about themselves, but that they are getting closer to Christ. And we have the enablement by God to do that. Because you know something? The world is a shaky place right now. The world around us is very shaky, very fragile. I feel like every day we're on the brink of some other turmoil. And the last thing we want to do is get together once a week to enjoy a can of fluff. I want to come together and have some nourishment and some meat and potatoes and vegetables to nourish my soul, to grow as a Christian, to stand in the day of adversity. And you have a part of it too. You have nutrients and nourishment for the body of Christ. And if you're not participating in the functions of the church, you're missing out on getting nourished and nourishing others. Your gift and my gift is to build up the body. We are to use the gifts to build the body, challenge, encourage, and create an environment where we together lock arms to reach the lost, the dying, the broken, the hurting for the gospel. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ here today, you have a spiritual gift. You have a place in the body. It may be something that everyone will be able to see, or maybe something that nobody will ever see. But it is just as crucial in the body as anybody else's. God wants you to fan into flame that gift. God wants you to use that gift to build up the body, to glorify His name. God wants you to come alongside the operation of the kingdom of God and have your part in the march of bringing the gospel to the world around you. Are you in a right relationship with God? Are you walking with God in your daily life? Or have we allowed something to get in the way and distract us? And we need to repent and say, God, I've been wandering off the path of your will. I repent. I come back to your path. God, help me. God, empower me. Have you allowed a habit or sin to come and quench the Spirit? The Bible says that the Spirit can be quenched. Come to God and say, God, I repent of this. I give it to you. Change my heart. Change my life. And fill me with the Spirit. Then you will be used in the body to glorify the name of Christ, to build up the body, and to spread the gospel. I want to close here. If we all can just turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 and read this together as our closing verse. 1 Peter chapter 4. We've now read the directions, brothers and sisters. We've been given the gift. Now we can use it in the right way. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And here it is. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you that you have given us the gifts we need to function. God, I pray that we would use them. I pray that we would be in a right relationship with you. I pray if somebody here this morning has not been born again, that they would repent of their sin, receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus who died on the cross for their sins, and believe that they can be saved. And Lord, may you give them the gift. Lord, may we use your gift to build up the body. May we all see each other as having just as important and equal gift as any other part of the body. And Lord, may we build each other up in our walk of faith for your glory, for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, Amen.